So there was a lot of paganism in that religion. So that's the religion I grew up with. Yeah, there wasn't any like driven purpose to my existence.
Islam is already looked down in the media. How did you fight that power to still come to Islam?
So I started researching, why do Muslims can't marry outside of religion? And that started a whole chain. If I had enough time to worry about things, I had enough time to pray, right? I always see as, oh, Allah's testing me. Allah's testing me. I'm a Muslim. I'm fine. You actually taking a step to becoming a better Muslim not only affects you, but affects everyone around you.
The purpose of this interview, there's different purposes of interviews. But the purpose of this interview is to actually strengthen our iman, for us to increase our value of Islam. So this isn't for non-Muslims to convince them to come to Islam, right? This is actually for us. Because we grew up as Muslims, majority of us came from Muslim families, we don't understand the value because we had it so easy. So the way we're going to do this, inshallah, try to do this, is in a manner that can help us strengthen our iman. So we're going to use him, inshallah, to strengthen our iman, inshallah. Okay. First of all, please tell us what's your real, the name that you were born with, what's your name? And what does it mean?
My born name is Vien Tran.
Okay.
And it just means complete. And I have a Vietnamese background, so the Tran comes from a dynasty, basically.
Okay.
So that's what it's from.
Well, what background are you from again?
Vietnam.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit, in terms of religion, like what did you grow up with? What was religious life for you in your family, in your relatives? What was that life? Just explain to everyone what your life was before you became to Islam. What was that life?
So my life before Islam, the religion I grew up with was Buddhism. So a lot of you guys probably heard about it before. And it was more of like a certain sect of Buddhism where they had a lot of folk history, folklore and all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of paganism in that religion. So that's the religion I grew up with.
So what was your ibadah? What did you worship? How did you make dua like we do? What was it? Was it just comfort? Was it meditation? What was it? What was your actual ibadah? Was it weekly? Was it daily? Is there any specific holidays that you had? How was your religion in terms of how did you do ibadah? How did you worship?
So how we really worship, from how I remembered, is we would go every Sunday and pray, and that would be the only time we go there and pray. We pray there for like an hour or so, like just constant like bowing down and everything. And when it comes to like religious events, you guys heard about Chinese New Year's or Lunar New Year's, it'll mix in with our religion as well, since the religion, it was more Buddhism and Vietnamese culture combined. So you'll see a lot of those elements come together. And the ibadah wasn't every day, it was more like every Sunday. And the few times that I do pray outside of that Sunday, it was more like at night, where we'll go to the temple at night and we'll pray for like 2 hours or something.
Now your prayer consists of what? Talks, dua, what does prayer mean? So you're not praying like us. What was your prayer? What does it entail? What do you have to do? Like, is there a beginning and end? Is there a mistake in your prayer? Can you not do this? Can you do this?
Yeah, so there wasn't any like a rakat system, but it was more like, so at the beginning you'll recite some stuff, the monks would lead, and they have like a whole book that they recite, right? And then once they recite, they'll recite a bunch of names of all the different Buddhists and everything, and we'll bow down in between, like perform like sujood and everything in between. And then towards the end, there's always like the same like recitation that they'll say towards the end. And then towards that end, then we'll finish. But when we pray, there's always like a bell and like a fish bowl symbol, like some kind of like instrument that they'll keep on playing, so that it, like as they recite, is like in synchronous with it. So like everyone recites at like the same pace.
Okay. So did you have to, is it like similar to reciting Quran, or just in your own language you're saying something?
It's not anything like reciting Quran, because like when they recite, they have like an instrument, so they'll keep on. So based on how the person is playing the instrument depends on how you recite it.
How deep do you think you were somewhat in your religion, or how about your family? How deep were they in that religion? How serious was religion taken?
So from my side, my mother, she's more religious, really religious. But my father, he's not as religious, but he doesn't like mind us going to like temple and everything.
Okay.
So growing up, it was kind of like right in the center. You know, my mom, she makes us go to temple, but my dad doesn't really push it, while my mom really does push it. But I wouldn't say I was too deep into the religion, because it was kind of difficult for me to like study even further because a lot of the religious texts and everything is all in like Vietnamese. So it was like I would have to do a lot of translation just to understand the gist of it. But I understand like the primary, you know, information and everything.
Okay. When was a time where you're like, you're actually considering, what made you start your journey towards Islam or even just learning religion? What brought you to saying, okay, you know what, I want to start taking my religion itself a little bit seriously? Was it company? Was it friends? Was it, you know, what led you to finally say, okay, I want to study Islam a little bit?
So I would say like a year before, like I started before the year before I converted, I started like looking for like pathways to live by and like seeking guidance or hidayah. And I knew like I had to live a life a certain way. I can't just, you know, wake up, play games and go to sleep. You know, that's not how you're supposed to live life. So there's supposed to be like other things you're supposed to live by, like how you communicate with people, how you handle people, handle relationships and everything, and how you're supposed to conduct yourself and everything. So I started researching a lot. Not necessarily a lot, but I started being more like interested in doing these kinds of things. And it was like a slow progression.
So meaning before Islam, life felt a little bit purposeless. There's no purpose to your existence.
Yeah, there wasn't any like driven purpose to my existence.
Now obviously you're learning Islam, you're becoming inclined towards Islam, but the media doesn't portray Islam in a good manner. Mm-hmm. Like in the worst of people are Muslims. How did you have to fight that, what the media was saying, and still be like, yeah, I really don't care what the media is saying, but I'm still coming to this religion? How did you get the courage to be like, let me study, let me actually look into, did you become a little curious, did it bother you a little bit that if I come to this religion, people are going to say things about me, they're going to say bad things about me, Islam is already looked down in the media? How did you fight that power to still come to Islam?
When I grew up learning about it in like secular school and everything, my teacher always emphasized that Islam isn't about terrorism, it's not about killing people and everything. And I actually grew up with Muslims, you know, I grew up near Masjid Mominin, so I grew up with a lot of Afghans and everything, a lot of Muslims, right? Okay. So it was like, it's just a normal day-to-day life, and I knew these people weren't evil, and like they don't have the drive to go kill people. Like I know like ISIS is not this, it's not a representation of what Islam is.
Okay. So you had, because you had the company of other Muslims, that gave you a different identity of what Muslims are. They're not what's being portrayed on the media, and you were able to fight it. Mm-hmm. Now what eventually led to you taking your Shahada? What was your journey like that? What did you study? Did you read anything that really just hit you? Okay, yeah, this is the truth with it.
Oh yeah, so during the month of Ramadan last year in 2023, I had some Muslim friends and everything, and they were like talking to me about it. And one of the biggest things that like that made me separated my understanding from the Christians and the Muslims or like any other religion was that Muslims do not marry outside their religion. And that's like a very serious thing, right? Because when I grew up, the Buddhists and the Catholics and of the Vietnamese people, they're actually married together. Or I've seen like Catholic people marry like agnostic or atheist marry a Catholic person. And I've seen like people who have two different religions in the same household, right? So I was kind of adjusted to that, but when I like came, when the Muslims were teaching me about how they can never, like they don't really marry outside because it's taboo and everything, and it really affects your deen, then I started researching more because of that. So I started researching why do Muslims can't marry outside of religion, and that started a whole chain. And I started researching more and more and more.
Did you read anything while you were researching, whether it's a Quranic verse or hadith, or somebody said something from you, the Muslims, where you're like, okay, you know what, I'm ready to take shahada? Was there anything like that?
It actually started with, after like researching that question specifically, I started researching about the basic foundations and everything. And then I bought the book, the Quran, the translation, and I started reading it, right? But the first time I read it, it felt heavy, you know, like my mentally, it felt heavy because it felt as if this book, I knew that this book was the same book that all the memorizers had memorized over the like thousands of years. And I believe that, right? So when I had that book, I felt as if this is something real. This is not some, it's not like when you hold a Bible, I don't have that same tension when I hold a Bible. But when I held that book, it felt heavy, and I was a little bit scared actually. But as I started reading it, it was kind of hard for me to pick up because it's not like any other normal book where they have like, oh, chapter one, this happened, and then chapter two, this happened. No, it was more like a bunch of reminders here and there, a bunch of stories here and there. But the biggest thing that I started picking up was how merciful Allah was.
How much?
I picked up on how merciful Allah was.
So meaning when you read the Quran, by the media you're being told how, you know, how aggressive all the Muslims are, and while you're reading Quran, you're picking up how merciful Allah is. Mm-hmm. Now, what was the day you took your Shahada?
The day was April 20th on a Thursday, 2023, around 3:30 p.m.
How old were you?
I was 18 years old.
18. Takbir. So where did you take your shahada?
Masjid Al Farouk, downtown Atlanta. Okay.
So I think as a reminder for all of us, his brother took his shahada last year. Everyone just take the shahada. Just say the shahada one more time. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Whenever we hear shahadas, we actually should renew our faith in iman and say the shahada again. Hopefully that will be strong too, inshallah. So now after you became Muslim, did you keep it a secret? Did you tell your friends? What was the life when you immediately became Muslim? How many people from your immediate family knew? Your friends probably knew. How was the situation like when you accepted Islam?
A lot of my close friends, like my close circle, they knew that I was interested in becoming a Muslim beforehand, and I told them afterwards. And it wasn't a lot of like negative feedback on it. Like people, like my friends that I had, they didn't really like force, they didn't have anything like against it, or they didn't like force any of their beliefs on me, so they just respected it in a way. Okay. And yeah,
but like how about like family wise what was the situation
family, I know like my parents they would not be accepting of it, because it's something outside, it's completely outside the Vietnamese realm, right? Like you'll never hear about a Vietnamese Muslim ever.
How are you praying and stuff?
To pray in secret. Yeah.
Were you ever able to attend the masjid?
Yeah, actually, I would sneak out to the masjid. I'll say like I'm going to go work out or go play basketball with my friends, but I'll be in the masjid instead.
At what time? Fajr time.
Fajr time. I wasn't able to go to Fajr masjid for the first time until like 1 year later, okay. Or a couple months later, because it was kind of like I wanted to establish Fajr at home first before I go out there, okay. And I don't know how to tell my parents, you know, hey, I'm gonna go pray Fajr 6 o'clock in the morning, you know.
So for other prayers, you kind of had to like sneak out to go pray your salahs.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we have kids sneaking out for other things, and this brother sneaking out to go pray salah. It's a really difficult era we're living in right now. But now, before you became Muslim, salah was not fard on you. Fajr nowadays is at 5:30 a.m., 6 a.m. Did it give you a different feeling of life that now you actually have to pray your 5 daily prayers, you have to actually get up early enough to pray? Did it change your life a little bit to increase that feeling of purpose in life?
Yeah, actually, when I started praying, I started praying all 5 immediately, right? And I just went with it, and it wasn't really that hard to implement in my life, because if I had enough time to worry about things, I had enough time to pray, right? And the biggest thing I noticed after like 1 month of praying is that my chest felt different. Like I felt like a lightness in my heart, and my face was like really had nur in it, you know. A lot of my friends, they actually told me that you seem more happy and more, before I was a Muslim, I always had like a dark face, you know. I don't know why, maybe because of the music I listened to, but like after like a month of praying, like it just brightened up, and I just felt more peace and content in myself.
So now what about the difficulty of having to get up early to pray? Did you have a habit of giving up early? Did you already have a habit of giving up early, or did you have to put on effort, or when these salahs are coming a little bit closer, what was the struggles like that now, okay, I have to pray within these time frames? Did it change your life a little bit that, okay, how do I accommodate my schedule to fit these prayers in? So how were you able to do that, whether it was school or work, and nowadays you have to say, well, I gotta take out time to go pray Mazhar. How were you able to do that?
The only prayer that's really hard is probably the Fajr prayer, and it wasn't so difficult because beforehand I used to live a life where like I'll sleep at 12, wake up at 6, and that was like my everyday life cycle, right? But the things that I was having, I did not really have a purpose to wake up at 6 before I was Muslim, you know. I was like, why do I have to wake up early? I can just wake up later, you know. And then eventually when I heard about Fajr and how you had to pray in that time frame, it gave me new motivation to like really like wake up, you know, because the first thing you wake up, you praise God, you know. That's the best thing you can do in the morning.
Obviously, a lot of us are born Muslims. We're raised Muslims. We don't know what the other life is outside of Islam. Majority of us don't know what Islam is. Would you say there's anything that you could give us, some kind of advice, myself and everyone here, some kind of advice that if we, you know, because we might not value Islam, that you really value Islam, whether it's purpose, whatever it may be, something that makes us increase our value for Islam. Is there something that you could give us, some advice to us that will help us strengthen our Islam, you know, because we might not be able to value it at your level? Is there any some thoughts on your mind?
The biggest thing I've always emphasized to all my Muslim brothers and sisters is the power of Salah, right? So when you grew up 18 years without knowing how to pray, not knowing how to make dua, or not even, you don't even know who Allah is. Like imagine Allah does not exist. You can't imagine that, right? So imagine your whole life, you know, there's nobody to call for help to. So the only thing you have to deal with is the current reality that you live in, right? So if you, back then, if I was to go through troubles or like any hardship, I would ask, why am I going through this? Why do I deserve this? Everyone around me is doing so well, but I'm going through this. This is not fair. But now, because I have Allah, I have my salah and everything, I always see as, oh, Allah's testing me. I'm fine. Allah's testing me. I'm a Muslim. I'm fine. And the thing is that when it comes to like the salah, it literally helps me with so much. Like every time I'm distressed, every time I'm feeling anxious, every time I feel like there's a problem going on, I just pray. And beforehand, like there's a lot of people in this world, they don't even know how to pray yet. And they need salah more than we all do, you know. So I always emphasize, like, it's such a blessing to be born to know how to pray. And at least you know who Allah is, and you have someone to ask for help.
I think we're going to have to wrap up, inshallah. But is there any last advice that you want to just give us that we're really, you know, in these times of difficulty where Muslims are being portrayed in a certain way, or children are leaving Islam, or parents or elders are not loving Islam? Is there any last advice you can give all of us that will help us really like keep our Imam in Islam strong, inshallah? Is any nasiha or thoughts that come from your mind and advice, just give it to us, inshallah.
My best advice is that people don't read Quran, people don't read Hadith, but people do read you. So the thing is that if you're always striving to be the best Muslim you can be, people will see it, and then people will see it, and they'll ask you about it. And in fact, when they ask you about it, you'll feel more motivated to become a better Muslim because you realize the impact that you have on other people. I didn't realize how much impact I have as a revert to other Muslims until people start coming and telling me. And I didn't even realize that because really, I still think like I'm not that good of a Muslim, right? Because I still sin, I still disobey Allah, I still do those things, right? But because I'm a revert and I make an effort to be better as a Muslim, people notice that and people actually feel encouraged by it. So you actually taking a step to becoming a better Muslim not only affects you, but affects everyone around you.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Now this is Brother Junaid, alhamdulillah. It's been 1 year since he's been Muslim. He's 19 years old, going to Georgia Tech, and alhamdulillah, Allah inspired him to believe and brought Islam to his life. A lot of us are born Muslims. We don't understand how much it takes to do something that's against our own parents. We read about it. We read about what happened with Quraysh and, you know, they're leaving the religion of their forefathers and their generation. We read about it. And we just read it so casually. We grew up reading their stories. But it's actually very difficult. Nowadays, Muslims have trouble fighting their own culture. They prefer culture over Islam. And now you have to leave an entire religion that your parents still don't believe in. It's a very difficult task. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of his effort, keep him Islam, make his entire family Muslim, inshallah. Make all of his siblings and bring them all to Islam, and make him and continue to use him and all of us for the service of this deen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.